And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city, and Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, have you ever noticed that God often asks his people to do some pretty big things? In fact, he sometimes asks people to do ginormous things, things that might even appear at first glance to be a tad crazy, because those things seem, well, they seem overwhelming. For example, consider Noah in his old age. Noah was over 500 years old, and God commanded him to build a great big ark and then to put every animal into it, two by two. I think about Abram, who was told to leave his familiar homeland, his friends, and then to travel to a totally different land that God would show him. Or Moses, who admitted that he couldn't really speak all that well. And he was wanted for murder in Egypt. And then he was commanded by God to demand that the Egyptian Pharaoh would free all of the Israelites, and Moses would then lead them all into the wilderness, an entire nation out of Egypt, out of slavery, into a promised land. It took him 40 years to get there. Then there was that young boy, David, who was led by God to stand there and face down a huge giant with a shepherd's slingshot and a few smooth stones. Or the warriors of Israel, who were called to subdue mighty nations much greater than them in the land of Canaan, often without adequate soldiers, without the necessary resources, and with many times without enough weapons. And then how about the prophets, raised up by God to speak very strong words of judgment, words of condemnation upon Israel, its rulers, and its people? And then let's not forget about Jesus' 12 disciples, who were invited to leave their families, to forsake their careers and their very lives to follow him. The same 12 disciples who were commanded by Jesus to feed 5,000 people. 5,000, even though they didn't have enough money to buy food or enough time to get it, and they certainly didn't have enough food. And remember Simon Peter, who was invited by his master to leave the safety of that fishing boat and to walk on the water despite the high winds and the waves. And then at his ascension back to his Father in heaven, Jesus gave his last command, now only to 11 uneducated, very common guys, to go and teach and to baptize the entire planet Earth. They had no airplanes, no cars, no TV, no radio, no internet, no social media. They didn't even have a post office. And Jesus tells 11 uneducated common guys, go and make disciples of the world. Page through the scriptures sometime. Read for yourself how God has asked both men and also women to do many times huge jobs. tasks that seemed impossible, and many times would be, in fact, impossible without the help and blessing of God himself. Facing these kinds of divine challenges, people often experience weak knees. They have faltering faith, and they request sometimes to be excused from the invitation. God, you got to be joking. How can I get that done? It's impossible. One only needs to remember Moses at the burning bush when he, in essence, said, "Lord, find somebody else, please." When faced with huge tasks, ginormous obstacles, or super big assignments, we all too often find that we simply can't do it alone. We need help. Help that is much bigger than the big challenge we face. In a word, we need God's help. A big job? We need a bigger God. Turn with me now to the prophet Haggai that we've been studying, chapter 2, where we note the following main points of our text in the bulletin. The prophet Haggai was told by God to boldly go and to speak to the high officials, both in government circles and in religious circles, as well as the remnant of Israel. And Haggai was told to confront them with the reality of the ruins of the temple. The temple needed to be rebuilt. Secondly, God, through Haggai, was to encourage them all to be strong and to work vigorously on this rebuilding project, with the certain promise that God would be with them, that God's Spirit would be among them, and that they should not fear. Third and finally, God declared through Haggai that the Almighty God has all the necessary resources they needed, all of the power, all of the strength, and that this new temple would be even better, even more glorious than the first one that was destroyed, because the glory of the Lord would fill it, he said, which was a veiled prophecy of the coming Messiah, Jesus, who would enter that very temple. Now, you got to realize that none of those ancient Israelites that Haggai was addressing, none of them had the equipment or the modern resources that we have today when it comes to building huge and awesome buildings. But by the guidance and the power and the strength of God, they didn't fear the small stuff like that. They worked and they finished the project. So what does the rebuilding of an ancient Jewish temple have to do with you or me today, centuries later? So what? Well, let's think about our own weak knees and our oftentimes faltering faith for a moment. Let's think about this morning the humongous thing that you might be facing in your life right now. Have you ever faced something so big that you wondered how you could ever do it? Listen to the voices of some people who have had that experience. I don't know how I'll ever repair this marriage. Too much damage has been done. Or, I think it's impossible for me to make a connection with my son. We're just too different now. I know my body will never recover from that surgery. Recovery would be way too tough. How will I ever get my kids through college on a single parent's income? I'm not going to try to beat this cancer. I'm not going to beat it, so why should I even try? God will never forgive me for what I've done. I've been much too far away from him in my life. Or, will I be able to keep the house now that I'm a widow? How am I going to pay the bills now that I'm unemployed? I am addicted. I want to stop, but I simply can't stop this addiction of mine. What can I do? What's going to happen to my family now that I'm in hospice and have only a short time to live? Or I have a real problem with a friend, and I don't think I'll ever be able to mend the fence with him again. Maybe you've heard those voices, or perhaps the voices of your own giants that you keep deep within. Big challenges, big obstacles, big jobs. You may be facing challenging circumstances this week. Maybe you're dealing with intense pain or crushing disappointment or silent regrets for something you've done. But you don't have to fold. You don't have to resign yourself to defeat. Of course, none of us would want to choose things that are difficult. None of us would want to take on huge tasks that require a lot of determination and strength and resolve. Think about it. Would you prefer to move mulch off your driveway to your beds with your bare hands, or would you prefer to use a wheelbarrow? Would you prefer to move from your old house to a new house using a moving company or by yourself with a small car and a U-Haul? Would you prefer to get college credit from a course that's called a review of addition and subtraction, or a course that said advanced trigonometry and calculus formulas approaching the infinity limit? Easier, always, right? We're going to choose the easier path. We would like to avoid the hard and difficult things in our lives. Maybe this morning you have something you need to deal with in your life that seems pretty doggone big, and you wonder how you're ever going to do it and accomplish it. Well, guess what? You're right. It is impossible for you to do it. How can any of us? We're common fishermen. We're sinful tax collectors. We don't have it all together, if we're honest. It's a big job, and we need a bigger God. Maybe you've seen the posters around our campus that says, God moves in mighty ways. That's our school's theme for this year. It's based on Jeremiah 32, verse 27, which says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? It's time to grab hold of the promises of God that give us comfort and hope and certainty that, yes, God will get you through even the toughest times of our lives. For as God reminds us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You want to talk about a big job? Think about what God did. I'm not thinking about the creation of the entire universe, but that's a pretty big job. No, I'm talking about a bigger job, the cross. The biggest job of all, that Jesus replaced our broken bridge to his Father with a cross. That he cleaned up all of the stains of your sins and mine, that he removed all of the rubble of our guilt, and that he power washed us clean, both inside and out. God did an impossible thing, folks, something that nobody from the beginning of time nor the end of time could ever do in our behalf. God built our salvation, and he built our salvation with wood and nails, and an empty slab of rock in an unoccupied tomb. That's the same God who's with you right now. The same God who's with you, whatever your task might be. And there isn't any task that's too big for him to tackle. You got a big job, you need a bigger God for sure. And you can find help. And you can find encouragement to get through even the toughest parts of your life. Here are the words of Haggai, spoken in a much different time, in much different circumstances, but yet full of truth for us today, when Haggai said, But now be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, for I am with you. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. It's a call to renew our faith in a God that is bigger than any of our problems, any of the challenges that we face. As Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So here's the final word and God's promise. As you keep moving forward through your adversities, You will discover the greatness and the bigness and the unfathomable grace of God, because you realize just how truly great and gracious He is only when you endure hard times and then emerge victorious on the other side. For as St. Paul once wrote, in the midst of his own persecution and hardship and prison, and when he was hungry and thirsty, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May all of us be renewed in that same faith that can build temples and that also can move mountains. May God grant it for all of us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we so often struggle through life, often limping with weak knees, faltering faiths, and without trusting you to get us through. We are weak, sinful people who sometimes fear the future, and we worry about what the next day is going to bring. Remind us again and again that you are bigger than any of our problems, and that you promise that all things will work together for those that love you. And so we pray that you would renew our faith, that you would strengthen us for life's journey, and that one day you would bring all of us safely home on the other side, by grace, through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand.